One rainy, cold December day in London, philosopher Alain de Botton was struck by a travel poster of palm trees, sunlight, and a glistening beach. And he began to wonder, why do we have such an appetite for adventure? And why do so many artists and writers seem almost to live on the road? De Botton's reflections inspired a book called The Art of Travel. And he started off telling Steve Paulson about some famously nomadic artists: the American painter Edward Hopper and the French poet Charles Baudelaire.
I think Baudelaire and Hopper are fascinating characters because, like a lot of us, they preferred being on the road to going anywhere in particular. They were great fans of places that I guess are sort of in-between places, places like diners, motels, hotels, railway stations, airports nowadays, harbours, the kind of places where everyone is on the road, you know, no one is at home. And I think a lot of people find a certain charm to these places that aren't necessarily beautiful from a kind of architectural point of view. Often the food is lousy and whatever. But I think it's the idea that, you know, in these places, everyone is an outsider. And often when we're in our own districts and our own homes and workplaces, there's an idea of community there that we don't really fit in with. Taking to the road and hanging out in deserted motels and all that kind of paraphernalia of the road, that can be a terrific source of relief.
But what's so striking about Hopper's paintings in particular is the loneliness that you see in a lot of those images.
One could say, well, you know, his canvases seem a little bit bleak and depressing, and people just sitting around in diners looking sad. But his art reminds us of a kind of curious lesson, which is that if we're trying to be happy or improve our mood, often we don't need to hear anything optimistic. It's quite nice to find solace in the arms or canvases of a rather pessimistic artist.
Another French writer you write about is Flaubert, who detested France, the sort of the bourgeoisie, that smugness and prudery that he was so familiar with, and he really fell in love with Egypt, but it was kind of a romanticized version of Egypt, wasn't it?
Well, I think Flaubert is an interesting character that I discuss in my book as an example of how we can fall in love with other countries. As you say, he lived in France but felt desperately attracted to Egypt from a very young age and spent a lot of time traveling around the country. And there's a very moving letter where he says, you know, we should stop saying that nationality is something that should automatically be ascribed on the basis of where someone was born. You know, what about saying that people really belong in the countries that they love? And making, you know, the country you're attracted to the real country to which you belong. And I think that's a great motive for traveling. You know, when we travel, we try and get in touch with qualities that exist in other countries, but maybe are not so present in our own.
So what did Flaubert like so much about Egypt?
Well, I think, you know, the process by which Flaubert fell in love with Egypt is the process by which a lot of us fall in love with other countries. What he liked in Egypt was things that were missing, he felt, in his own country. And he found in Egypt a kind of open-mindedness, a colorfulness, a sense of danger, an investment in culture, all of these things that were missing in 19th century France, and he looked to Egypt to provide him with. But, you know, I think we should bear in mind that the idea of the exotic, or rather the quality of the exotic, isn't just limited to places like Egypt. I remember once I'd been on vacation in Egypt, and I was flying back to London. And I remember as the plane was coming down through the clouds, and it was an August, very, very grey, rainy day, as there often are in England. And I was talking to an Egyptian man next to me, and I said to him, you know, I apologize for the weather. It really, really is horrible. And he said, no, these clouds are so exotic for me. And, you know, these dark green fields, it's all so exotic. And of course, you know, for me, it had been the sand that was exotic and the pyramids, but for him, it was a dark rain cloud. So I think that's a fascinating thing, you know, to ask someone, what's the country that you find exotic? Because that's a really interesting way into someone's psychology, really.
Now, all the people we've been talking about so far were pretty much city people. I mean, they thrived on the urban environment and the excitement there. But you also write about Wordsworth, the great English poet who really detested cities.
That's right. I mean, ever since the early 20th century, most of the population of the developed countries around the world has been urban. You know, most of us live in cities. And so for many of us, to take a vacation means to go into nature, to go into the countryside. And in one of the chapters of my book, I ask a very sort of blunt and large question, which is, what's the point of nature? And most of the time, that question is either considered too obvious even to be considered, or else it's answered in very practical terms. It's answered in sort of physical terms. You know, nature is good for you because it's good to get out and stretch your legs and breathe some clean air and that sort of thing. But the reason I was interested in Wordsworth is he's one of the few people to come up with a psychological explanation of why nature is a good thing. And to summarize, you know, hugely, I think what Wordsworth thought was good about nature is that he felt it was very good. If you're feeling envious, he thinks that, you know, if you live in a city, you're constantly comparing yourself to other human beings. You're constantly looking at who has more than you or who has less. And you can get that kind of hothouse atmosphere of a city. And what's good to do in nature is that nature reminds you that there are lots of things beyond the human. There are lots of animals and trees and vegetation that just goes on without any reference to us. And so it's a real relief from that kind of egocentric concern that makes day-to-day life often quite unbearable in a big city.
Now, we've talked about a lot of famous writers and painters. There's one person you end your book with who's not so famous, a Frenchman who wrote something called Journey Around My Bedroom.
That's right. He's one of the odder characters of the history of French literature, but I think a very, very charming and interesting man, interesting writer. His name was Xavier de Maistre, and he was writing at the end of the 18th century. And he was writing at just the time when sort of mass tourism was getting going. A lot of people were traveling far and fast. And this kind of urge to travel always to very, very exotic places annoyed Xavier de Maistre because he felt that really what identifies a good traveler is not so much an enthusiasm for going far, but a way of looking at things. You know, what makes a good traveler is the ability to look at things in a close and attentive way and appreciate the surroundings. And he felt that this is something you can do in your own district as much as, you know, in very, very faraway places. That's why he encouraged us maybe to even travel around our own bedrooms. He said, you know, if you travel around your own bedroom, maybe that's as interesting as the Himalayas or the jungles of South America.
I have a hard time believing that, but anyway.
Right. Well, I think he's pushing to an extreme, to an absurd extreme, what is actually a very sensible point, which, as I say, it's all about remaining receptive to places. It's not just about traveling, you know, huge distances. So he wrote this book, Journey Around My Bedroom, in which he travels around his bedroom and rediscovers its many charms. And the book was a big bestseller when it was published, and he wrote a follow-up called Journey to My Windowsill, in which he travels to the windowsill. I mean, it sort of sounds silly, but I think, you know, there's a truth in it. If you imagine the average city is going to have people in it who live there, and people who live in a city frequently don't really look at their own city. They don't look around. It's just home, and it's quite dull, and they keep their heads down when they go to work, and you know they don't look around themselves so much. And then in the very same city, there'll be people who are tourists, and the tourists are going to be there with, you know, their cameras and their eyes wide open, and they're going to be checking everything out, and they're going to be full of curiosity. And of course, the place that these two groups of people are in is exactly the same. What's different is the kind of mindset. And so I think that really captures what Xavier de Maistre was getting at, that the travel might be more about a process of looking and appreciating than about a process of going far. And, you know, your own home city, which after all is the tourist destination for many other people, you know, could have many, many charms and sources of interest that you haven't yourself fathomed yet.
Alain de Botton's book is called The Art of Travel. That's it for today's travel stories, but you can find more on our website at ttbook.org.